Suica, suica, suica.
Opita, então, da Bahia, não do nada.
Mind is just the mind, it's nobody, not a person. We have to remind ourselves of that.
Da Bahia.
The mind is just a force of nature.
Da Bahia, tu já não tu não tinha nem pensado.
Nature means that it has its own causes and effects. Nature means that it's a process of causes and effects, conditions and results. The processes in the body are also nature. They are called rupa, rupa dhamma. The mind has many functions. When we've been meditating for a while, we notice the things the mind is doing, things in the mind. At the very least, we know the very gross or obvious minds. There are many different levels of mind. And when there is more wisdom in the mind, when the awareness is better, we begin to be able to detect the more subtle activity in the mind. When we say subtle, it means that the beginnings of a new cycle of something in the mind, whether it's an emotion or a thought. And the mind is so quick that it's only when those thoughts of emotions get stronger that we generally detect them. There are minds that are just knowing the object. There are minds that are being aware. Feeling, minds that are feeling, minds that are remembering or making note, taking note. And minds that urge us. Energize. These mental energies that urge us, they are very much related to our bodies. they act directly on the body. This mental energy that urges the body into action or inaction is called a chetana. And these chetanas are usually most visible to us, most obvious to us when we are moving, but they are also in fact there when we are still. We have three types of actions that we can do. There is the mental action, verbal action, and bodily action. Everything though begins from the mental action, the mental movement. Wanting to do, not wanting to do, these are causes, and the results are the body moving or not moving or whatever. This process is going on in this body and mind all day long. The more we know this process of mind and body interaction, the more we begin to understand that it's just a process. There's nobody there, just a process. Process of cause and effect. That is the principle of anatta. Why we are able to say there's nobody there? Because we begin to understand thoroughly that it's a process of nature, that it's a process of cause and effect. And this urge to do or not to do, it's motivated by wholesome motivations or unwholesome motivations. You can have a wholesome desire to do something or an unwholesome desire to do something, or stop doing things. But the urge to do itself, the chetana, it's wholly neutral on its own. But if greed comes in, then there is an urge to do with greed. But if there is loving kindness, if there's metta, then there is an urge to do with metta. We're sitting still because we want to sit still, and then when the mind finally decides it needs to do something, it will get up and do
it.
So when we want to sit, then these mental energies direct every part of the body, from the head, the hands, the feet, to the back and the rest of the body. Everything is stilled. Every part of our body is stilled by these mental energies when we want to sit, for example. You breathe because there is an urge to breathe, a desire to breathe. It's a subtle desire though. And we're not consciously doing it, it's happening naturally, cause and effect. Of course, we can consciously breathe when we want to. And then when we're not consciously thinking about it, there is a subtle underlying mind that still governs this action of breathing in and out. Constantly these mental urges are in action. When we see, we want to look. When we want to do things, we want to look. When we hear, sometimes we want to listen. We want to taste when we eat food. All these urges constantly at work. When we know these subtle mental urges, it also helps the mindfulness to be more continuous. Especially moving from posture to posture, activity to activity, there's always these slight shifts in the mental energies towards the new activity, and if we detect them, it just helps to bridge the gap between those activities and our mindfulness. When we are moving, particularly when we need to put in energy to do something, we'll notice that energy at work, that mental energy putting in that extra push. When we don't know these subtle processes, and we see things, the results of things happening, we think they just happened. But in fact, everything has causes and conditions that result in their arising. These Chaitanas, metal, are just much more easily detectable when we are moving, exerting energy, much more subtle when we are still and not moving, but they are there. Because when we want to move, when we want to do, we also have thoughts that come with it, the intentions, the planning, the thoughts precede the actions, and so those mental energies have already also been spoken. So it seems much more obvious. When we are sitting still or standing still or lying still, and if you just examine the whole body, where is these energies keeping the body still, unmoving? So we are never still for no reason. We also still because the mind wants to keep the body still.
Bahwa dan sisi kasih tuh
Naturally, the mind is always thinking. When we start being aware, the mind doesn't think quite as much. When the mindfulness is continuous, thinking becomes less. There's a lot of thinking, there's more agitation in the mind, and the awareness becomes more continuous, it settles the mind. This right attitude as well. And when we go on retreat and the mind settles down, we seem to be gaining some calm. It seems to open the mind, actually. And then we might find that old memories start to surface. But this is also the nature of the mind. It's very natural for the mind to do this in this sort of scenario. It's not a bad thing at all. So if we view this in the right way, and just remain aware of this process. We will understand more about the nature of the mind. We have the opportunity to understand more about the nature of the mind, and perhaps we learn to get past these problems. When a sickness is hidden or undiscovered, we don't have the opportunity to cure it. It's only when we can diagnose the illness that we can find a cure. Generally, when we have emotions, our way of relating to our emotions is with identification, which is wrong view. It makes our emotions grow stronger. But when we meditate, we learn to relate to the emotions differently. We learn to view them through the lens of right view. Remembering that the mind is a force of nature. And it helps those emotions to not just spiral out of control. Then we have the opportunity to watch them, and they're just objects. Objects that we can observe, investigate, explore. hopefully come to understand better. Memories will never disappear. Not something that we can get rid of or forget completely, because they are memories, that's their nature. They will resurface. But we can begin to understand the nature of the mind and how it works, and we have then the choice to not react to the memories in our old patterned ways. Memories are part of the mind. They are also a force of nature. They come and they go. They are not problems. Vipassana meditation is truly actually a type of education where we learn about nature. The process of nature. It's the natural force that we call body and mind, mostly. All of us have our challenges with life. And what's truly helpful and important then for us is to know how to observe objectively the feelings, the minds, the mental activities and the bodily reactions that are attendant to our challenges. So the most important skill is that learning to observe objectively. Because when we can observe skillfully, then the learning begins to happen.